Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And in our first segment, we were talking about the TCU Horned Frogs. We're going to head south now on I-35 right into Austin and talk some Longhorn football and shine the spotlight on them. It is always a pleasure to have back joining us the contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. He is also a correspondent with CBS Sports Rapid Reports, our good friend Steve Habel. How are you, Steve? Did you have a good summer? Was it hot enough for you out there?
It is so hot, Melissa. It is so hot. But, you know, we're glad when football comes, maybe it's going to be a little bit cooler. Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And, you know, the first thing I want to ask you, everybody's hair seems to be on fire about this Longhorn Network. How has that impacted as far as the coverage, you know, as being a writer and being in the media down there? I mean, are they providing a lot of information for you guys on what's going on with the Longhorns?
Well, to be quite honest, the coverage, the media access to the Longhorns football program this year has been really cut back even more than in past years. We don't really get access to the team at all to see them in practice. We do have some specific media availabilities, but then it's pretty regimented, and it's something that we're all having to deal with. I think a lot of college football teams are going that direction, but Texas is at the cutting edge of keeping us away from what we really need to get.
So are they allowing anybody to go over there from the media and, you know, watch, you know, camp and practice and see how things are progressing for the Longhorns?
Actually, ESPN has total access to what's going on over there right now because of the Longhorn Network, but nobody else has seen Texas practice at all. And we, like I said, we have limited access to them as far as availability for interviews and for asking questions to the kids. So.
Now, I'm thinking back to the Big 12 Media Day. I know Mac Brown, he defended his Longhorn Network. He's very excited about it. But a key concern from many of the coaches that was expressed, from whether it was athletic directors or, you know, even Oklahoma's coach Bob Stoops or Missouri coach Gary Pinkel, was just the recruiting advantage, the unfair recruiting advantage. Do you feel the same, or do you feel, you know, confident about what this is going to be able to do for the Longhorn program and the exposure that it will provide?
Well, I think that the exposure is going to be good for the Texas program. Obviously, kids that University of Texas is looking to recruit, if they're on there for their high school, their high school games are on the network, it's, you know, it's an advantage for them to be seen, but at the same time, it's an advantage for other people to see them as well. And, you know, the all-access type of situation that Texas is putting out with ESPN and Longhorn Network will allow other teams to actually be able to scout Texas better and to see players that Texas are recruiting. Maybe they wouldn't have as much access to those guys. So, you know, I think it's a dual-edged sword. I mean, you've got an advantage for the exposure to the program. You know, they're really blazing some trails here with what they're doing, but at the same time, there will be some disadvantages. It's the fact that you've always got a camera in your face for some of the shows they're doing, and, you know, some kids may play different because they're on, you know, thinking they're on the ESPN Longhorn Network. You know, it's hard to tell how it'd be interesting how it's going to work out.
You know, there's been so much focus as far as how this is impacting and what it will do to enhance the program with the football program specifically. But I would think that as a Longhorn woman athlete there at the university, you got to be really excited about that kind of exposure nationally that you're going to be receiving.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that's what a lot of people don't really think about it. We're in football season now, but Texas has a whale of a volleyball team. I think they're number 3 in the nation coming in to start and play here. And, you know, actually the volleyball team will be the first live sporting event on the Longhorn Network Friday evening. They'll have a game here at home that's been the first one broadcast on the Longhorn Network. So a lot of exposure for all the other sports. So, you know, it's really a way that if you're a Texas fan to really keep up with all that's going on. And if you're just a casual sports fan, I mean, you'll get to see a lot more than you ever have about Texas, even if you're not really interested in them. So it's kind of a cool deal, I think.
We are visiting with Steve Habel. He is the contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. Also, his new gig is a correspondent with CBS Sports, the Rapid Reports. Boy, that's almost like Twitter. I mean, you're like firing off stuff all the time, and you don't seem to be running short on any stories. There's some good stuff that you're providing out there, Steve-O.
Well, we really kind of go through the whole gamut of doing predictions on things, doing lists of different things that we think the team's going to have. We'll actually hit a fever pitch when we can finally get to a point where we actually see the guys play. Of course, that will be Saturday a week on September 30th, Friday.
Yeah.
Until then, we've been kind of floundering around trying to find things out, and as best we can, the interviews that we've done and the access we've had has allowed us to gather some information, but not as much as we would see as if we were seeing it with our own eyes. So it'll be good to see some football again, actually in person.
Okay, I'm very curious. Now, Texas last year, they are looking to rebound in a very big way. You guys, with the free fall, 5-7 last year, that record, that really is just hard to even, you know, say it out loud. What can we anticipate as far as, and what are some of the biggest question marks coming into the 2011 season? Obviously, we start with the QB position.
Well, yeah, we have had, here at Texas, they've had a quarterback battle between the incumbent, Garrett Gilbert, who was the all-everything coming in the last season, and really did not have a great season, throwing only 10 touchdowns versus 17 interceptions. His leadership ability was called into question during the season and during the offseason, and that's led to a quarterback battle between him, Case McCoy, who is a sophomore, Colt McCoy's younger brother, Connor Wood, who's a player out of the Houston area, who's a redshirt freshman last year, and then a true freshman, David Ash, a quarterback out of the Belton area, who's really, really good, really talented, really strong-armed. And of the four, it seems like Garrett Gilbert and David Ash have been the ones that have got the most praise from the coaches early on and from their fellow players of what we've been able to hear and talk to those guys. It would be interesting to see if David Ash was to win that battle and be the starting quarterback as a true freshman at Texas. I can't tell you how long that's been, if it's ever happened here. And but if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would say that that Garrett Gilbert will be the starting quarterback for this team when we start in a couple weeks.
I'm not a betting gal, but that's what I would definitely place my bet on, that he looks like, or would appear to seem to be, the best hope for an offensive turnaround. Can you kind of compare and contrast? You talked about Case McCoy, the younger brother of Colt McCoy, and, you know, what is his skill set? I mean, does he have an arm like Colt? I mean, what are we talking? Is he a dual-threat quarterback? What can we anticipate?
Well, Case is a lot like Colt. He's a little bit smaller than Colt, but he's worked on his arm strength and his physical, you know, and his size getting bigger since he's been at Texas. And he was an early enrollee last year, so he's been through two spring practices now. He's got the intangibles, it seems like, all that both the McCoys have, and that comes from their father, who was a coach, of course. But he's really got good leadership qualities. You know, we haven't really seen him much in action, to be quite honest with you, Alyssa. We saw him in the spring game the past 2 years. This past year he had a good performance in the spring game, probably the best of the four quarterbacks. But at the same time, he's only thrown one pass during regular action, during real live action, and he was the backup last year, didn't get but 4 or 5 snaps. So it's really hard to figure out what he's going to do until the lights really come on.
Was he recruited elsewhere, or did he always have his heart set on, you know, following his big brother and going to the University of Texas?
I'm sure Case was recruited by other people, but he's, you know, he has been a Texas fan for forever. Between the fact that his brother played here and was such an institution here, and, you know, it's been. I don't know if Case ever really wanted to go anywhere else, but he's found a home here. He's going to be a good player if given the opportunity, I think.
Okay, one of the guys that is on the roster for Texas that, let's just say, there is a ton of pressure on him, a lot of eyes on him. He faces high, high expectations, and that's the newcomer, the running back, Malcolm Brown. How special of a kid is he?
Malcolm Brown, what we've seen in high school, obviously, Alyssa, like I said, we haven't been able to see him on the field yet in practice, but the reports are that he is a lot better than a lot of the players thought he was going to be, the established players. He's fast, he's quick in the hole, he's got good moves. He's tough. It's hard to bring off his feet. He does not let go of the football when he's hit. And those are the things that you want to see if a freshman's going to come in here to contribute at Texas. He's got to make sure that he doesn't let go of that ball, no turnovers allowed, and that he can bounce up and go for some more, because there will be some guys taking shots at him. I think that he'll have a place in this team early on. I doubt if he'll be a starter in the first week, but he'll I'd be real surprised if he wasn't getting 20 or 25 snaps a game when it comes to time for the Red River Shootout in the 1st of October.
Ah, we've got the calendar marked for that, absolutely. But I'm curious, okay, so you're saying you don't have a lot of access and you've not been over at camp to check out these guys, but Cody Johnson and Fozzie Whitaker, they are returning this year. How do they look in the spring game? And, you know, what perhaps was their workout in the offseason like?
Well, Fozzie has been, by all reports, has done well in the fall camp. Cody, we've seen some little snippets of some of the scrimmages, and Johnson has been catching the ball out of the backfield. He looks like he's strong and healthy, and he'll always be the short yardage back here. Fozzie, since he's been dinged up as much as he has in his career, he would like to make a statement this senior year and really do something. You know, I think that those guys, as always, is it's just a matter of staying healthy and running the ball with authority. That's what they're not. The knock has really been against them the whole time they've been here, is that they can do that for a game or maybe a game or two, but they can't do it for the long term. So that's why the pressure that's being put on them by Malcolm Brown and another freshman, Joe Bergeron, who's really been impressive in camp, we've been told,
right,
is, you know, those four guys, maybe a running back by committee early in the season until somebody really establishes themselves.
We're talking about Texas's offense right now. Can we quickly hit on the wide receiver position, Marquise Goodwin? I understand he is going to a redshirt this season because he wants to concentrate on track and field and competing for the 2012 Olympics. He's got some special legs on him, doesn't he?
Yeah, Marquise is a world-class long jumper, and he qualified for the World Championships this year, and I believe it's in Korea, if I'm not mistaken. So he's really taken this opportunity. He went to Coach Brown and asked if he could go on and concentrate on track this year. Coach Brown was happy to let him do that. I mean, he's a very talented kid. We'll see him back next year in the 2012 season, you know, after the Olympics. So we'll see what happens there. Also, at the wide receiver spot, Malcolm Williams, who's been a stalwart at the position for the past 3 years, decided that he did not want to play football anymore. He needed to deal with some family issues, and he's left the team. That happened before fall workouts. So really, the receiving core is very young and untested. We've got, you know, Texas has Mike Davis, who is was an all-world freshman last year and seems like to be the next in the long line of great Texas receivers. They've got Darius White, who was also came in as a kid who was supposed to be a really, really good receiver. Didn't get much of an opportunity last year, but he will this year. And speaking of legacy at Texas, we have the incoming freshman, Jackson Shipley, brother of Jordan Shipley, who was the Texas stalwart.
That's right, yes.
With the Cincinnati Bengals. Jackson is a true freshman. He did not early enroll in the spring. He took the spring off, even though he did graduate early. He took the spring off, and he, if there's been one player that has been the talk of camp between all the people that we've talked to, it's Jackson Shipley. He's really been talked about by the coaches and the other players as a kid who comes to work. He's got a great attitude and great mentality and has made an impression on just about everyone who's seen him. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Jackson Shipley get a bunch of action early on and be a starter before not too long, if not even at the start of the season.
That's some good stuff. Steve Habel is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Hey, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com, and you can email us at info@eradiosports.com. And Steve talked to us about this new co-offensive coordinator that they bring to the table. 20 years, what experience? Brian Harsin from Boise State. I kind of cringe a little bit when you say Boise State. We all remember the trick play in Oklahoma.
Well, Brian Harsin brings a lot of flash and dash in here. He was the one that was calling all the plays for these for Boise State for the past three seasons, and he's really bringing a varied attack here to Austin. From what we hear, we didn't get to see much from him in the spring. He was not going to show much of his hand for people to look at, and we haven't seen anything in the fall. But all indications are that you can expect just about anything from this bunch. There'll be a lot of motion, there'll be a lot of shifting, there'll be a lot of different players getting their hands on the ball, which was the case with him at Boise. He's talked about how each player on the offense will have a role, and it might not be much of a role, but they've really found a way to find the ball in the right people's hands at the right time. And that's what he did well at Boise, if you remember. Our new defensive coordinator here at Texas, Manny Diaz, has joked about when his defense runs against the Texas offense that guys are being dropped out of helicopters, popping out of holes in the ground.
Okay.
He said, he can't imagine what it would be like to have to actually deal with these guys when they're going full blast. So it'll be an interesting thing to see. I mean, I think we're all waiting just to see just exactly what Harsin brings to the table.
Okay, Steve, we are quickly running out of time now. The Longhorns, they open up the season next week. It is hard to believe 1 week the college football season gets underway. You guys will open up at home against Rice. I mean, any scouting report on Rice? What do we anticipate there?
I think Rice will be they always have a really good group of talented players. Their first-line players are really good. Coach David Bailiff is a good friend of mine, and he's been coaching at Rice, I think, 3 or 4 years now after coaching at Texas State, and he'll have them ready to play. I mean, if there was ever a time where you were playing for Rice and you figured you may have a chance to come get Texas, this is probably going to be it. Texas coming off a poor season, Rice, everything is fresh and new. I expect Rice to play with Texas deep into the third quarter probably, and until the depth probably wears out. That's usually what happens in these games against top-level teams and the middle-level teams. So, and the heat will be affecting, obviously Rice works out in the muggy heat in Houston, and it's going to probably be 106 or 7 on the field at 7 o'clock next Saturday night. So,
I was thinking, with kickoff being in the evening, it would perhaps the weather would drop about 20 degrees or so, like a balmy 85 degrees for kickoff.
Down here in the Austin area, it was about 106 yesterday at 7 o'clock, so they're predicting 110 this weekend in Austin, so no rain in sight. So it's going to be a matter of survival, not even for the players, but for the fans, to be quite honest with you. To sit in the bleachers in the sun, in the hot sun, is going to be a test for everybody. So.
There's no doubt about it. Okay, my final question, I promise, for you is just talk about defensively. Is it controlled chaos this year? What can we look for?
Well, that's what Coach Diaz has talked about. He wants his players to come out of every direction. You'll never know who he's bringing and where he's bringing them from. We've even talked about, defensive linemen dropping back into pass coverage and linebackers dropping back into safety spots while other guys are blitzing. So, again, until we see what actually comes about when they hit the field on September the 3rd, we really can't talk a lot about it. But it's from all indication is that we will still have being very aggressive and very unique in just about everything they do.
Steve Habel, you can check out all of his work at CBS Sports with his rapid reports. He's a correspondent. Click on the Texas link for that. He also is a contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. Does a great job, and he's a prolific golfer. Oh, by the way, how many hole-in-ones have you had in your life, Steve?
Never had a hole-in-one, Ian. Hole-in-one. I will eventually. Just depends on if we can play putt-putter at real golf. I might make it that way.
Oh, my little Steve-O. He'll take you out there, and perhaps he'll get a hole-in-one one day with you, right?
That's right.
Listen, thanks so much for stopping by, and we will catch up with you real soon. And good luck against Rice.
Thanks for having me on, Ian.
Okay, Jason Peter is going to be up next with our Under the Helmet segment. Stay close. We'll be right back. Support for programming comes from Pinnacle Bank, where serving customers beyond day-to-day transactions is the Texas way. Pinnacle Bank provides solutions based on local needs and personal relationships. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter. Under the Helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Our next segment is being brought to you by our good friends at Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. Check them out online at PINNBANKTX.com. Okay, it's been another interesting week and another big story in college football. This time it involves LSU And four of their star players, including their big-time quarterback, Jordan Jefferson, who was in a bar fight that started when a patron honked at a crowd blocking his exit from a bar, something along that matter. We are so glad to have Jason Peter along with us. And I remember our outtake when we finished up the interview last week. I said, you know, wonder what could happen in the next 7 days. Who knew? We'd be right back talking about the SEC and LSU. What in the world's going on, JP?
Yeah, that doesn't shock me, though, that we're talking about an SEC school. Usually they're the ones that are front and center. There's a scandal. If it's not on their front page, it's coming. And sure enough, LSU is on the front page. And I just want to know, who goes out to celebrate before you've even won a game, never played a game? You're celebrating what? The camp's over?
Celebrating two-a-days are over. We remember what that was like. Every athlete's had to go through that. That is a celebration. I'm sorry.
But it's part of the deal. You celebrate by having some guys over and you know, grilling some steaks. You don't go out to the bars. I don't know. It's a different mentality. It's a different kid nowadays. So I'll never try to understand what some of them are thinking, but the only time we ever went out was if we won a game, and that was it. If we didn't win, you didn't see us until we were able to get out on that field and get back on top. Now, fortunately, that only happened twice in my career out here at Nebraska, but for some of these other guys, they've lost a few more games than I did.
Well, you just feel, you know, when you think about, you know, LSU and, you know, putting in all that time and Les Miles, and he's saying that, you know, strong actions will follow, you know, to discipline these guys. They were past their curfew. Curfew, I guess, was at 10:30, but we've got the big game coming up, LSU and Oregon next weekend. So, you know, wonder what will happen over the next week.
Yeah, I know that he's already preparing for life without Jefferson. I know that the Jarrett Lee, who played some last year, he's more of that throwing type quarterback. I know he's been splitting the reps, but you know, in this whole scandal and this investigation, you know, it's almost, I think, opening the door for an NCAA investigation, because I guess the authorities, the police, went and took some material, took some evidence and DNA out of Jefferson's apartment. And from what we've heard, they pulled about 50 pairs of sneakers out of his apartment. Now, I know kids today, they love their sneakers and they love their tennis shoes, but I can guarantee you, I didn't have 50 pairs of Jordans. Now, maybe they're not all Air Jordans. Maybe you got some Chuck Taylors in there, some sneakers that cost, you know, $15, $18. Knowing kids nowadays, they don't wear those types of sneakers. So unless they're all issued from the LSU Athletic Department, I think the NCAA is going to want to know, like they wanted to know about all the Ohio State guys and the tattoos, they might want to know what's going on with LSU and all these the sneakers that these kids have.
And I'm not certain that living off a Pell Grant, you could afford that kind of stuff, right?
No, and you know, these sneakers nowadays,
they're expensive.
You're talking about $100, and those are the cheap ones. So, you know, I'm not going to say one way or the other. I don't know all, you know, the types of shoes that they took out, but I know the type of kids that are at, you know, the Nebraskas, the LSUs, and I know the type of sneakers that they wear. These are not these are not kind of the hand-me-downs. These are flashy, they're brand new, and but I'll wait and see what happens with that.
You're listening to the voice of Jason Peter, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. He joins us every week with our Under the Helmet segment. Jason, this truly is your favorite time of the year. We are 1 week away from the start of the college football season, and Oregon, September 3rd, and LSU at Cowboys Stadium right here in Arlington. Who do you favor in this particular game? Does it change for you now, knowing that, you know, some of these players are going to be pulled?
I think if Jordan Jefferson's not playing, I think you have to go with Oregon. He was going to be a big part of their offense. And not that he was this dominating quarterback from last year. I mean, he was an athletic kid, kind of a Cam Newton type kid. I think completed a little bit over 55% of his passes, but he rushed for about 500 yards somewhere in that ballpark. So he's a kid that can do things both through the air and with his athletic ability. I don't know if they can run that same type of offense with that Jarrett Lee. He's more of the throwing quarterback. I know there were times when Les Miles had that two quarterback system last year, and Lee would come in when it was more of that throwing type situation. Well, now, you have a quarterback where you pretty much eliminate the running situations and that option with the quarterback position with the Lee kid. So, it's just the fact that it's a distraction as well, too. Your starting quarterback may or may not play the game. Even if he does play the game, it's been a distraction now for the week leading up to the game. And when you open up against a school like Oregon, you got to be ready. You got to be firing on all cylinders. And the same with Oregon. When they're looking at a school like LSU. Fortunately, I think, it's not just the offense that goes out there. You got a defense, too. And if they can't score, they can't win. Now, that's a mighty tall task to stop Oregon's offense from scoring. You're talking about one of the most prolific offenses in college football. So the chances of them putting a goose egg up on the scoreboard, it's slim and none. But, LSU has been known to put out some great defenses, and, that's kind of where I think they're going to have to count, their blessings is on the defensive side of the ball and hope that they can go out and do a number on Oregon.
It is interesting because you talk about Oregon. They've had their own little controversy going on too this summer, but their best player was suspended, Cliff Harris, for speeding. He wasn't getting in a bar fight. He was just speeding.
Right. But it was something that wasn't in the week leading up to the game, right?
Exactly.
Correct me if I'm wrong, it happened a month or two ago, something like that.
Right.
It's not a matter of, was he kicking, from what we've heard, a Marine? This guy might be a Marine, an ex-Marine.
Yes.
That Jordan Jefferson was possibly kicking in the head.
Can you imagine?
This is different than, a speeding ticket. So, I guess the good thing is that it's always decided out on the football field, and once that first kick is sent down the field, everything that's happened up to that week is it's history, and it's all about what happens out on that field and the execution and the blocking and the tackling and catching the football, all those things, the discipline, those are the things that win football games.
Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And great stuff on Jason Peter's website. You can go to jasonpeter.com. We are so excited. His celebrity golf tournament is just around the corner. We're going to be talking some more about that in the weeks to follow. And, of course, you guys got the big game next weekend. We'll be talking about that on our show, Chattanooga. I say big game. Sorry. That was quite a build-up, wasn't it, Jay?
Yeah, that might have been a stretch. I don't know if Chattanooga and big game go together. But
but it's a season opener. Come on, help me out
it's
here.
It's a season opener.
There you go,
Lincoln,
my dear.
Nebraska, and people have been waiting for this day, for the last 6 months. This is what they live for out here, and it doesn't matter who's on the other side of the ball. People are going to be excited. There's going to be, 90,000 people in that stadium, and they want to see what Bo Pelini puts out there. They want to see the product that will be the 2011 season. The change going to the Big Ten. People want results in Bo Pelini's fourth year. They're getting picked to win the Big Ten by a lot of the experts. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. There's a lot of questions, I think, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, people not so much worried, but on the offense, that's a different story.
That's right. Returning starters offensively, 5 for Nebraska, and defensively, 7, and finished the 2010 record at a 10-4, and hopefully they can improve upon that. Jason, always a true pleasure to have you on the program. We look forward to catching up with you next week when it all gets underway. I'm so excited.
Anytime, E. I can't wait.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead and join us online right now at eradiosports.com. We'll be right back.